Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm the host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, heard every Sunday on this radio station, is always about motivation, inspiration, and indeed education, and it's done without manipulation. Our job is simply to help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, and your job, should you accept it, is to orient and adjust to the plan. Simply put, we're going to give you some lucid, accurate information, and you can take that information to make valid decisions with. You see, bad decisions limit future options, and if you make enough bad decisions, you're not going to have any options left. And so this show, The Flatline, is America's informative radio talk show. It's 30 minutes of no-nonsense biblical information with no strings attached. And you notice there are no commercials here because we don't sell anything on this show. It's simply me talking to you, and if you'd like to have a copy of the show, you can write to me. The announcer will give the address, and you can always email me simply by going to the website on the World Wide Web, which is www.bigrick.org. And if you go there, you can send me an email, and you can also see what we do when we travel around and speak in various places. But this show, The Flatline, started out dealing with the Christian problem-solving devices, and we continue to teach the 10 problem-solving devices that God has instituted in His Word so that you, the believer, may live in the middle of adversity and not have stress. Remember that we've said many times on this show, adversity is inevitable, however stress is optional. Because even though adversity is what circumstances do to you, stress is what you in fact do to yourself. And by learning God's problem-solving devices and living within the boundaries of those problem-solving devices and executing God's protocol plan in your life, you set up this flat line in your soul, this forward line of troops that stops the outside pressure of adversity from ever becoming the inside pressure of stress. One of the greatest stress pressures that we face in our life today is in the political arena. We're in a political season in our nation, and during this political season, we're hearing a lot of viewpoints about who can best run the show in the United States of America. Across the world, there's all sorts of tyranny and oppression and genocide, and we're always looking for someone that can stop it, someone that could fix it. It's almost as if we believe that some magical person can show up on the scene and he'll be able to change everything. He or she will fix all the wrongs and get everybody to straighten up. But that's not ever going to happen. That actually sets the stage for what the Bible calls the Antichrist, the person who looks like he's the best thing that the eyes have seen in years. He's a great public speaker. He's a military genius. He's an economic genius. And he's able to bring great peace for 3.5 years. But in the middle of the 3.5 years, he exposes himself for who he really is, and then all hell breaks loose on this earth. But that's what people are looking for, this Antichrist individual. They're not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he offers. And they're not looking for the truth that he offers. Remember that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. But we are very quick to listen to truth that politicians offer, and hoping and praying that politicians can change things and make life better for all of us, when in reality, no politician is able to change anything. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk today about the difference between pivot politics and power politics. Pivot is a word called P-I-V-O-T, pivot. If you remember playing basketball, you may remember what the pivot foot is. It's the when you stop your dribble, when you pick up your dribble, you can't move your pivot foot or you're called for traveling. Pivot is the anchor. And in a nation, there has to be an anchor of mature believers that stabilize that nation and act as the salt that preserves the nation. the light which guides the nation. And these individuals are the type of individuals that Gideon needed to deliver Israel from the Midianites as they tried to cash in. And God didn't need an army of thousands. He just needed 300 committed individuals. God doesn't need thousands and thousands and thousands of mature believers in the United States of America. He just needs a pivot of mature believers. And that pivot must include you. I am here to recruit you for the pivot. I want you to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. The problem is power politics and politicians who promise what they cannot deliver. The answer and the solution is your spiritual life. Because as goes your spiritual life, so goes the destiny of this nation. You ignore your God. You ignore the Word of God. You place the priority on gifts and forget about the giver. Then this nation is going to succumb to disaster. But if you orient and adjust to the plan of God and place the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life and begin to study and grow, become a mature believer, then you can be part of the pivot or the anchor that stabilizes this nation regardless. And I say regardless of who the politicians are. Now we're going to make the comparison between this pivot politics and power politics. And I need to give a special thanks here. A special thanks to two people that have motivated me to talk about this message. Recently, a friend of mine named Randy gave a great message on this very subject. And as I listened to him, I had heard the message before. And as I listened to him give it, I thought, well, this is a great job. I really need to talk about this. And the original concept of pivot politics and power politics was taught by my pastor many, many years ago. And I'm going to use some of his notes as I give them to you. So this is a political season within our nation. And thus we need to understand politics and the goal of politics and the nature of politics so that we not be misled and not be mistaken when we go to the polls. And that you might understand that who you vote for is not going to change things because you are the only one that can make the change. Now, what exactly is politics? We all know, but let me just start off with a couple of definitions. One, politics is the art or the science of government and governing people. That's point one. Politics is the art or the science of government and governing people. You see, government, as you so well know, is designed to protect us and to provide in a free environment for us by making policy that will protect us, providing police and military that will protect us from within and without, and give us the freedom of choice. We're free Americans. We have freedom of choice. But point two, politics often breeds conflict. Politics often breeds conflict among different interest groups. You see, there are those who want to control the population through political power. They have a political agenda. And thus the political battle starts. And the battle is about winning control of the population using the policies and the procedures of whatever group this person represents. And so in our nation, if it's a Democrat or if it's a Republican or if it's an Independent or a Libertarian, then they have a agenda using their policies and their procedures that they think will affect this country to the best or the benefit of most Americans. And where you vote depends on what you think about that. Now, point three, there's no doubt. There is no doubt that we have problems, and there is no doubt that all problems demand solutions. We all agree with that. The United States of America today has problems. You don't need me to address all of the problems, but I could tell you a few, and you could probably guess what they were. One out of every two marriages ends in divorce. We have a tremendous drug problem. We have a tremendous racial problem. Even that's been talked about in this election. We have a tremendous moral problem. We have a tremendous religious problem. And so these problems, and we have problems abroad with enemies that hate us, enemies that want to kill us, enemies that think we are the great Satan. And all of these problems must have a solution. And so one politician says, well, this is my solution. And another politician says, this is my solution. And you usually vote for the one that you agree with. But we need to ask a simple question. What is the solution? Or whose solution are we talking about? And I want to give you a little cliche that my pastor gave years ago. Here's the cliche. Listen carefully. Dealing with solutions, this is what my pastor said. Human solutions are no solutions. Divine solutions are the only solutions. And so we have a contrast. We have human solutions. This is called human viewpoint thinking. And we have divine solutions. And this is called divine viewpoint thinking. And so a politician that thinks in terms of human solutions at best will frustrate you. And the politician that thinks in terms of divine solutions will probably infuriate you because you won't like it. You won't like what you hear. Moses, as he led Israel, gave divine solutions. People didn't exactly like it. They often wanted to kill him. But he spoke the word of God and for God. When you hear the word of God, you may not like it. So the question is, whose solutions are we going to listen to? Our problems are twofold. The first is personal problems. There are people in our nation, myself included, you included, we have personal problems. We have personal needs. And then we have collective problems and collective needs as a nation. Since the politician cannot affect your personal problems or cannot address your personal problems, he often tries to fix your personal problems by going to the collective problem. And so he tries to legislate some law that collectively will influence the individual and make things better for him. I hope I'm not boring you, but I'm trying to show you the nature of politics. So point four, we have problems, yes. The solution, by the way, the problems are collective and personal. And the question is, what solution do we need to look to? Do we need to look to divine solutions or human solutions? And so point four, as free Americans, we have the right to determine for ourselves what solution we want to use. This right, this privilege, this voice that we have was bought and paid for by the lives of many great men and women who died purchasing our freedom. And that leads us to understand that freedom is never free. The freedom that we enjoy in the United States of America today is not free. People left their home and left their families and returned in coffins, if they returned at all. Some brave men, some cowards. But they fought and they died. And they gave us the freedom that we now possess. And one of the problems that we face in our nation today is many of our young people have never known this sort of sacrifice because everything has been handed to them on a silver platter. They've always been allowed to choose where they want to go to school and choose what kind of car they want to drive and choose this and choose that. They have never had to pay the price ultimately. And when you don't pay the price, usually there's no appreciation. And so we possibly, I didn't say probably, but we possibly have a whole generation of young people who don't understand the price, what it takes to be free, and who may not be willing to pay the price when push comes to shove. But we have the right to choose because people gave their life for us. They laid their life down, and we are free Americans today. Point five, because of this death sacrifice that was made on our behalf, you and I have a voice in choosing which approach we will use to solve our problems, both collectively and individually. Will we use the divine solutions, or will we use the human solutions? Will we go for the power politics that promise one thing but can't deliver? Or will we be a part of the pivot politics that anchors this great nation and delivers this great nation in time of disaster? Now, since we are incapable of solving our problems, that's why we like to talk about collective problems. So we feel like if we can solve problems collectively as a whole, then individually people would be better off. And it's not always true. Point six, there are two approaches to national problems, two different approaches. The first one is called power politics using human solutions and social actions. And the search goes on even now in this political season for who can save us. Who can deliver us from this war? Who can deliver us from the impending financial disaster? Who can give me the money that I need to live and function by daily? Who can ensure that my Social Security will always be there? Who can ensure that I won't lose my savings in a bank disaster? We have all sorts of collective problems. And who can ensure that I'll get the health care that I need? Personal problems. Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it an individual? You see, that's what power politics is all about. There must be some person that we could vote for, people say, that could give us the protection and the life and the means that we need to live it. We've got to find that person. And along comes this politician or that politician, and they say, I'm the person, give me the chance, and I'll change things. Well, listen to what the Bible says, ironically, in Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Did you hear that? In Jeremiah 17:5, in the A part of that verse, the living word of God says, cursed be the man that puts his trust in man. And so today, if you think that man, being homo sapien there, man or woman, if you think that any politician, man or woman, can make your life better and can deliver you from your personal problems and solve our collective problems, you're sadly mistaken, because it's not going to happen. The problem is an internal problem called the old sin nature. We have a nation full of unbelievers, and we have a nation of some believers. And believers and unbelievers alike have old sin natures. The difference is that the believer has an opportunity or a choice. He can choose to allow the Holy Spirit to control his life, or he can allow his old sin nature to control his life. The unbeliever doesn't have that choice. He is under the control of his old sin nature 24 hours a day. And so when we have 300 million people, roughly, in the United States of America with an old sin nature, and one politician saying that he can change things and make it better, or she can make it better, we have got to be out of our mind to believe that that's true. And so really it boils down to a popularity contest. Who looks the best? Who sounds the best? That's what it usually boils down to, just like it did in high school, when you chose the prom queen or the prom king or the homecoming king or the president of the student body. It was always a popularity contest. So power politics is a very dangerous game to play because it involves human solutions and social actions. For example, I give you some examples here. Here's what the power politician will tell you. He will tell you that I can stop war, that if you will elect me, that I'll bring peace, and it will never happen. Matthew 24:6 says it this way. Jesus speaking said, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not the end. No one can stop war. There have been wars going on for as long as we have history. James 4 tells us, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasure that wage war in your members? That's your old sin nature. The reason that we have wars is men and women in the world have old sin natures. And oh, sin natures demonstrate hostility and bitterness and anger and resentment and jealousy. That's why we have war. Old sin natures desire malice to harm someone. Old sin natures get into revenge motivation and revenge tactics. And so we attack and we criticize and we kill. So when someone comes along that tells you, a power politician with his campaign, that if you elect me, you can trust me, I'll put an end to war, don't believe it. Sometimes a power politician may tell you this, that if you will elect me, we'll get a perfect environment going in this nation. We have a nation of imperfect people, but if we legislate enough laws, if we set the agenda high enough, then we can have a perfect environment where we can get rid of crime, we can get rid of illegal drugs, we can get rid of this, get rid of that. Don't you believe it. There is no such thing as perfect environment in this world. If it were not for the grace of God, we would have already destroyed ourselves a long time ago. And even in perfect environment, are you naive enough to think that people don't sin? Didn't Adam and Eve sin in perfect environment in the Garden of Eden? Didn't Lucifer sin in perfect environment in heaven? Perfect environment does not mean people will not sin any longer. That's not what it means. And that is an illusion like a mirage in the desert, that I can make perfect environment and people will get along. How do they intend to do that? By social equality. That's the power politician's angle. The power politician says we can give everybody the same health care, we can give everybody the same amount of finances, we can make sure that everybody has equal choice, equal this, equal that, and we can get everybody up to the same level. However, Jesus said in Mark 14:7, the poor you will always have with you. So even if you took millions and millions of dollars away from everyone else and gave it to the poor would lose it and be poor again, because that's the nature of that individual. Power politics is often successful in getting people to stop thinking and start operating on emotions. And this is where the danger comes in. Emotions are never designed to control your life. Emotions are an appreciator of many beautiful things, but not a dictator of the soul. You have to learn to think and execute based on information, making good decisions. And remember that I told you, bad decisions limit future options. And the presidents that we've had in the past were elected by the majority of the people. And mistakes have been made in the past, and mistakes can be made in the future. So we have to remember that. You can't operate on emotions. You can't vote for this person because I hate that person. You can't vote for this person because my emotions are stimulated when I hear them speak. They look good. They sound good. And so I think I'll vote for them. Now we're back to a popularity contest. Again, it's not any one person that can stop the slide in this country. The only solution is you and me. And we must bring our spiritual lives up to par so that we become part of the pivot. You see, power politics often responds to the person that says, someone has something and I don't, so I'm not being treated fairly. Someone was treated better than me, so I'm not being treated fairly. I'm a victim of my environment, so I'm not be treating fairly. And so some power politician may say, well, let me change your environment, and I'll change you. And that's totally wrong. And Christians have to be careful not to be distracted by this sort of talk. Christians have to be careful not to be drawn into the political arena and to choose sides and to start campaigning and crusading for one person or another. God never set us up to straighten the world out. That's not our job. Our job is to represent Jesus Christ, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can draw all men to him. That's our job, to bring men and women to Christ. Not to campaign for this presidential person or that presidential person. I mean, that may be fine if that's what you want to do, but I can tell you right now you're wasting your time. If you would spend that much time in studying the Word of God, if you would spend that much money and effort in promoting the claims of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't need this politician that you think can solve all of our problems. But yet Christians get into crusader arrogance. They begin to use Operation AI, arrogance and ignorance, artificial intelligence, as my friend Randy says, artificial intelligence, arrogance and ignorance, thinking arrogantly that this person can make a difference, and ignorantly choosing to support this person, not even knowing anything really about this person. And I'm not talking about any one politician. Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about any Republican or any Democrat or any Libertarian or anybody else. I'm just making the point here. Christians cannot afford to get involved in this sort of agenda where you begin to forget about your spiritual life and you begin to place emphasis on this politician that you believe can bring about the change that you want to see in this country. What you need to be involved in is pivot politics. Pivot politics. You say, well, what is pivot politics? What is that? Well, first of all, let me answer the question, what is a pivot? A pivot, point one, is defined as an accumulation of mature believers living within a client nation under civil government in a specific geographical location. I'm going to repeat that and break it down so you'll hear it. The pivot is designed as an accumulation of mature believers. I don't know if that's you or not. I don't know if you're a mature believer. But I know what a mature believer is when I see one. And he lives in a client nation. That's the United States of America. We are indeed a client nation for God. And he lives under civil government. He's not an anarchist. And we do. We have a government, legislative, judicial, and executive branch. And we live in a specific geographical location. We live in the United States of America. So the pivot is the person who operates within these boundaries. Are you that person? Do you live in the client nation called the United States of America? Yes. Are you the mature believer? Well, I don't know. But you are the person that must make the difference. Not the politician, you. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the future destiny of your nation. Why is it that believers get all fired up about politics and all fired up about this man or this woman, but will not give 2 cents worth of time to God's Word? What's the problem there? The problem is they have false hope. They have an unrealistic agenda. They think this person can bring about change, and they cannot. And so the client nation contains this pivot, hopefully. Hopefully there's enough of a pivot in the United States of America to sustain us in the next few years. The pivot is made up of invisible heroes, people that you don't even know their name, but they are mature believers, and it is they that provide the prosperity of the nation and the principle of blessing by association within the nation. It's that pivot. This is what God uses to deliver the nation, not the politician. And thus, pivot politics are very important. Not visible activism, but the invisible power of the spiritual life demonstrated by you and Jesus Christ being formed in you as you represent him to your generation. I hope this makes sense because there's a lot more I want to say about it. And until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.